Scene one, Apple, take two.
The show is City Trends. My name is Philippa Sean, and you're welcome to the best 30 minutes of technology talk. Today on the show, what does it mean to be an app developer in Ghana?
Right now, something came to mind. When you, as developers, when you go out there in search of job, in search of projects, in search of people out there wants to see sample of what you have. If you say you are an app developer, the person wants to see, do you have an app on a Play Store? So I believe some of the developers put things out there to just hype themselves. When I go for search, I have done something like this. Maybe the person is not looking out for, because as I said, the money is not coming. People are looking out way of getting projects to get money on their table.
How is the healthcare delivery system being influenced by social media?
The same way, if we allow so many fake ones to occupy the streets on social media and give out the fake information, the very force of information, then we will have ourselves to blame.
All this and much more coming up on City Trends this evening. Sit back, relax, and stay tuned. Which social media platform are you on? Is it Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Vine, YouTube, Instagram? Whichever one it has a very, very, very important impact on your life. According to PwC, nearly 90% of 18 to 24-year-olds surveyed in the United States in 2012 indicated that they would freely share their medical information on social media than anywhere else. Also, research indicates that about 19% of smartphone owners currently have at least one health app on their phones. Very interesting. That got me thinking, what about Ghana? How exactly is social media impacting the sort of healthcare delivery that we get? I caught up with Kobe Blay, who likes to describe himself as the hub of the latest information in Ghana's healthcare industry. He is the founder of Ghana Health Nest. He is also the director of Healthcare Social Media Ghana. He shares his opinion on this matter with us.
Healthcare basically is social. And so anything that comes and allows that social interactions best fit to help in its delivery. Now, one thing that had been found failing the healthcare or failing healthcare delivery has been communication. And you know, you are prescribed this medication to take it at this time, you go home and some forget. You are to do this or avoid these lifestyles and you forget. So we have come to find out that there is emergence where social media provides an avenue for us to send this information to let the person be able to assess the information wherever or however the person is placed. So the platform had been provided, the healthcare system is already running, and it's been filled every day with this form of misinformation, miscommunication here and there. So I think there's a birth of a new thing, which we have termed as healthcare social media, and it allows for that engagement between what is happening in healthcare and the individual who may be seeking, who is seeking, or who have sought healthcare.
To what extent is information available on social media the most reliable form? Because if more and more people are engaging on social media about healthcare services, and already the system that you talk about in terms of the healthcare delivery systems in Ghana are not as solid as we need them to be, then it kind of brings into mind or questions the sort of information that people are getting access to on social media.
So, well, I understand two main issues with it: the healthcare system and what kind of information are we taking to the people. Now, the healthcare system, as it is burdened with a lot of problem, patient complain, a lot of patient, but very little resources, which includes human and infrastructure. But the best thing that could have allayed some of this problem or this burden was the patient not coming in that numbers at all. And the best way to tackle this issue is to put in some more preventive measures. How do people avoid getting sick? How do we avoid getting more hypertensive cases? How do we avoid getting people being involved in so many diseases that could have been prevented? It's informing them. It's giving them the very credible and very relevant information as it is. We don't leave the patient to go and find the information for themselves. Now, patients are Googling for the conditions they are going through. I feel sick. And they Google before they get to the consulting room. Mm. So we are even having more e-patients than real patients. Mm. In that regard, what information is out there for them to consume? Mm. If Ghana has its regulations on non-communicable diseases, treatment guidelines, strategy, what have you, and it is in the books, and it is in the consulting room only, then we may be doing ourselves some more harm because we'll be getting more patients. Mm. But when health professionals have been given that capacity to put that same information out there on social media, and we should understand that social media isn't limited to Facebook. It talks about platforms that enables more than one person to interact. Mm. And we even have medical wikis, which is the Wikipedia. Wikipedia has been one of the most reliable source of information for people. Now we have medical wikis. How many of our health professionals even know this and have put some information out there? How much of information have our Ministry of Health, Ghana Health Service, put out there so that people can be alert? How do we identify when there is an outbreak? What do we do during an outbreak? And you find some countries already doing this. Recently, Vietnam and the Ministry of Health have set up a Facebook page, and theirs is to inform. And when they made the public announcement, you can imagine everybody goes there to ask the questions, to get the information from the minister and what have you. What is stopping us from venturing same? Because when the people are informed, and for healthcare to be perfect, the best way is always to prevent it, as we've known. They used to say an apple a day will keep the patient away, but now it is a tweet a day will keep a patient away. Mm. Now, what the ministry was trying to do somewhere in last year was to set up this telemedicine. Now, telemedicine or even the healthcare social media all forms part of a bigger umbrella, which is digital health. Mm. Now, telemedicine was to allow a doctor somewhere in the north be able to interact with another professional down here in addressing a situation up there. But as of now, the system has not been able to roll out yet. The National eHealth Strategy that was drafted somewhere in 2004-2005, we've not seen much of it happening. Mm. But the evolution has happened. Mm. It is not a buzzword. It is not a trend. This is how the patients are interacting or are engaging with the healthcare industry.
But we are not taking advantage.
No, we have not, because we are so much dwelling on the fear or part of it. What have we got to lose? And we are still searching for how much we are going to lose, then how much more gains we are going to get. Now, in my line of using social media to do this work, I found out that there were so many times people were sitting behind their PC with their healthcare problem. Some could inbox you. I went to the doctor and he said, I have this hepatitis. What is hepatitis about? So meaning there was so much queue at the waiting room that the doctor could not have time to educate this patient. So the patient left with so much questions in the head. Now, these platforms, when it goes out, immediately are holding their smartphones and they search the information there. They spread the information there. If they go to a hospital, a clinic, and they receive the best of care, that is the first point they send out. So they recommend professionals, they recommend institutions where they are getting the best of care. Where they are not getting, they still tell. Mm. So we are at a point that we need to embrace it before others do. When you go to the streets, we have a lot of people selling fake medicines and what have you. If the system was structured way back to get all these things checked, we wouldn't be wasting money to do that now. Mm. But the same way, if we allow so many fake ones to occupy the streets on social media and give out the fake information, the very force of information, then we will have ourselves to blame.
Are you saying that the government should put stringent measures in place in terms of who interacts with who, and you know, when, especially when it comes to health?
It is not about government saying who should do what and what. Already the people are interacting.
Mm.
Medical professionals are already interacting with people online. I have been doing that. So there is a policy from the Ministry of Health which says that, okay, we have a hub. Our website has a hub of information. All our standard treatment guidelines are here. You can find them here. Mm. So if you are making information, you are giving information on this to people, health professionals who have been given some capacity building, some capacity training on social media and how to use it in healthcare, you can refer the people here. Because we don't actually end up giving every information on the social media platform. We make references. Okay. We refer people. Where do we find? And as credible as the ministry is on its own, definitely whatever information that we source our people to, we refer our people to, it could be trusted.
Mm.
What more, how much more better is it for you as a patient to realize that your doctor is just a WhatsApp away? It's just a tweet away, that you could just tweet and you reply back. Doctor, I'm feeling this. What do I do?
Mm.
Rather than we find the patient sending information out there, asking about his health on something, and someone recommends some treatment, and there you go, and the complications still ends up at our place.
Mm.
Definitely, the professionals of the day are using so much traditional means to give out information.
Mm.
And these professionals have been are so much grooved on these digital devices. In a little research I did, I found out that most, about 9 out of 10 health professionals have more than one smart device. What are they doing with these smart devices? They are sharing, they are interacting, and they are using it to find out about conferences, seminars, workshops for themselves. But they are hooked on to family and friends. Who knows the orientation as medical professionals, and we always find have an information or a question for them. So if we do have a structured system, have a structured policy that guides us as to what to do, definitely we'll come out to realize that, well, if I'm giving this information, it is up to this extent. Okay, I can refer you to this person online here. I can do this and do that. Where on which basis where we build in telemedicine, social media.
Mm.
And that is where it comes from. Mm. So if we are to empower even institutions or groups like what we have been doing at our end, last year like this, we organized the first healthcare social media summit in Ghana. And it was to get people to understand how social media plays, how we could merge it with healthcare, and how best we can make or can use that to reduce the burden on our healthcare system, including understanding the ethics that play there too.
Mm.
And it's that happened. The few ones that were able to come have been able to start doing something, and there are great results.
Mm.
Let's just say these trainings keep on going, and we have majority of healthcare professionals understanding how to put themselves out there, how to interact, what kind of message do they take out there, should they take a selfie of themselves with a patient and put out there, then we are getting somewhere. Healthcare professionals are always looking for ways they could go on radio to share information on healthcare.
But that is not the only platform by which
that is not the only platform. There are podcasts. People are doing podcasts each day. There are podcasting platforms that could allow you to just sit and record five minutes.
What you're saying is medical professionals are not really exploring the options that all these new platforms are making available for them to interact with their clients.
They are not. And I'll tell you some of the reasons why. Who pays for the cost of what I'm doing? How much returns am I getting?
Mm.
Where does the ethics play on this? Oh, it will take my time. These are some of the reasons. Who pays for it? What are the ethics?
Mm.
How much am I having on returns? And for me, I have termed return on information, not returns on investment.
Mm.
So the returns of information. But you realize that at the end of it all, how many patients will you be dealing with in the hospitals?
Yeah.
Are you just thinking about how much revenue you are going to make for yourself or how much healthier the community will get? All right? Good. So if we have to identify some of these issues as the blocks for which it is preventing healthcare professionals are going, then it will help us to understand and measure it well. Okay, well, who pays for it? How much do I have to invest in it? How much time does it take from me? How much time does it not take from you trying to interact on the social media platform on some political sort of issues that really do not bring much returns to you? But if a message, people know that this account belongs to this medical professional, this belongs to this midwife. The midwife could just take a simple, a short video, 20 seconds, even 1 minute, and put it out there. How to manage your pregnancy at each stage for the whole year. For the, you can choose 9 months for this thing. And you do it. And you can imagine how much maternal mortality cases we will be managing. That will be reducing.
What does the future hold for social media and healthcare delivery in Ghana especially?
At a point, our prescription is going to have social media in it. I recommend you go to this page for more information. That is what we are going to have. Because the patient can't go home and come back every 1 week, every 2 weeks. Looking at, because if healthcare is not accessible, it's not affordable, it's not very available wherever one needs it, which is what social media is doing. It's available wherever you are, provided you have internet. It's accessible. You can just access it on each platform. You see, and these are the qualities of healthcare. These are the rights every person must enjoy when it comes to healthcare. And social media as a platform provides all these things. So at the point, I find that prescriptions are going to be saying, okay, what's up for more information? You don't have to call 03 some landline and nobody picks up. And you don't have to come and wait at the doctor's room and he's not around, he's doing surgery, he alone has to come and listen to you, and you have to wait for 2-3 hours when you have to come to work. You need simple information on what to do when you have this. What do we do when there is an outbreak of this? When the Ebola, there was an outbreak of this Ebola, there was so much conspiracy theories than the truth that was supposed to be known. Until at the time, the real information began, it was sinking in the minds of people. If our systems were really structured with our social media platforms, the internet, actually 70% people spend it on social media. So what else are we putting there and referring them to our hub of information? So I believe the future is already here, and that our prescriptions, our treatment are not going to be without recommendation for a patient to join, to seek for more information or interact more on social, on any social media platform as it is.
Very revealing conversation there with Kobe Blay. And now we get the very latest in technology news on Trending with Mauli Chikata.
It's been another great week for tech news, and you're welcome to Trending, the segment dedicated to trending technology-related stories. My name is Mauli Chikata. In our first story, Ghana's Ministry of Communications is in the process of selecting a new vendor to facilitate migration from analog television broadcasting to digital terrestrial television before March 20th, 2015. Now, this follows a ruling by a commercial court in Accra on 9th March that the government can go ahead with the migration. According to the Ministry of Communications, 17 firms have now shown an interest, including local and international ones. Government says it hopes to appoint a new vendor by March 20th. Now let's talk about what Facebook is doing. Facebook is on a buying spree. Now you know that Facebook has acquired WhatsApp and Instagram. The social media company has also acquired a startup called The Fine. The Fine is an e-commerce platform focused on retail search and discovery. The company typically focuses on more fashion-minded internet users. This is not the first time Facebook has tried to get into the retail market. In July 2014, the company began testing a buy button on ads and page posts. It also explored payments, including its own online currency called credits. Yahoo wants you to solve your password dilemma. The fact is that it doesn't want you to even use the traditional password at all. The company introduced a new on-demand login feature that sends users a specialized code to their mobile devices to gain access. You don't need a permanent password, just the one that the company sent you on demand. It is not too different from the two-step verification from Google and other sites, but it is unique because you don't need a permanent password. This is pretty cool. Well, that's for trending today. My name is Maoli Chikata. See you next week.
Thank you very much, Maoli. Will we ever survive with our smartphones if it did not have apps on it? I believe not. When you pick up anybody's smartphone, they have dozens of applications on it. Actually, what will a smartphone be without apps? But what is the app market in Ghana looking like? How are app developers in Ghana surviving? What is the best way, if you're an app developer, to go about building your business? I caught up with two very interesting individuals who have some very important information to share with us.
I'm Patience Tekotete. I'm a software developer with E4 Solutions.
Eric Kumar, I'm from newaccra.com.
What is the situation like currently for app developers in Ghana?
App developers right now, making money is a bit of a problem. A lot of things are coming up. People just come up with ideas, they develop it, put it on the Play Store, but they are not able to get the money that is really, really needed. People have ideas, but when they put it out there, the money they are supposed to get doesn't come up. That they are not getting those returns. They end up putting it there, and it's more like it's a free app. People just download and use.
You see, by virtue of what I do at newaccra.com, I've been speaking with some of these developers, and we've been trying to identify the challenges. And in speaking with all of them, three major challenges come out. The first one is what Pat, my best friend, just talked about, the money thing. The first thing is that our brightest developers are not working full-time. The reason they are not working full-time is that it doesn't pay. So they have to work. They are working somewhere else, or they are in school. So they are not working full time. And what happens when you don't work full time is that it takes you too long to get to market. You understand? It takes you too long to get to market because you are not on the thing full time. The second challenge is that there is this strong perception that Ghanaians don't actually download and use apps. When you bring up your app, they praise the idea, but they don't download and use it. Mm. That's the second challenge.
So it stays in the cloud.
It stays in the cloud somewhere. It's there on the store.
People have heard about it. Oh my God, it is really good, yes. But nobody really goes to download.
Exactly. Mm. And there are two reasons why people don't download it. Mm. The first one is that, you know, there's this, they think data, you know, here, you know, sometimes you have to use your data, you turn it off for a while, data is an issue. Mm. The second reason too is that people seem to download and use your app only when it is becoming popular. Mm. So, you know, I mean, you're on Facebook because your friends are there. So the more people you know using it, the more likely it is that people will use the app. Mm. And Ghanaian app developers are struggling to get to that mass of people. Yeah. And finally, the Ghanaian developers say that they don't have enough avenues to showcase their work. Mm. They, you know, maybe events, challenges, trade fairs, competitions, awards. Mm. We don't have a lot of that. Mm. If you study the trend among the top-selling apps, you are going to notice that the apps are very functional or very fun. Now, based on what you just said, we would like to see whether the Ghanaian apps are either functional or fun. For example, the most talked about app in town these days is this Doomsaw app. There are many versions of this Doomsaw app. Now, ask yourself, exactly what does this Doomsaw app do? There's one particular version. All it does is turn on your flashlight, which is your camera's flashlight. That's fine when you're in the dark, but I would expect more functionality for an app that will challenge the Instagrams are too big, but I mean, I would expect more functionality from an app. So the apps, some of them are a bit basic, and our developers need to step up to make them more functional. If you look at that, you realize that the best marketing is when the product itself is good enough. Then it's easy to market it.
Exactly.
And when you want to market it, I can quickly put out some four tips for any developers that are listening. The first one is that please make your app functional, or let it be fun. All the top-selling apps have this feature. They are either functional or they are fun. Two, give people a reason to sign up or a reason to download and use the app. Like I mentioned earlier, you're on Facebook because your friends are there. So when you have an app that you use and it lets you connect with other people, you are more likely to use it because you can, for example, this Doomsaw app, if they put in a feature, say, I can start the Doomsaw app and I can see my friends who have light. So on my way to Adabraka, I can check whether Adabraka has light. I think that's more, you know, so make it more functional. And so that gives people a reason to download. The third point is that it has to do with the technicalities in the app store. When the app developers put their app online, now in putting out the app there, there are things you can do to help you come out more in the categories. For example, you are going to find out that 80% of people who search on the App Store, they search with functionality and not the name of the app. For example, Viber. Viber is an app a lot of people have. But you are going to find out that people search for Viber and they say something like the Viber calling app or Viber free calling app. The name does not include free calling, but people interpret the function to be free calling. So when people are searching, they are adding these words. Your job as an app developer is to identify these words, think through them, and add them to the description. Every app in the Play Store or in the App Store has a description. So you need to add these keywords to the description. Then you can come up more in searches. And
finally,
get media coverage for your app, for your, you know, when you come up with new updates, get media coverage. And that's the last point where somebody like people like us at newaccra.com, we can help, because we've been supporting young people doing fantastic things. Now we really want to help entrepreneurs in this tech field, this tech area. You can, you know, get in touch with us and we can help to promote your work.
I hope you learned a thing or two, because I did. And now for some apps that can keep you productive. Owl presents Apps.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Apps, the segment on the show dedicated to showing you the latest apps around. My name is Owl. From selfies to wifeys to everything having to do with taking pictures, this week we look at some picture apps to consider. For Apple users, check out Enlight. Enlight, Enlight. Enlight sports a sleek design that is tailored to focus on your pictures at hand, thanks to the dark color scheme. The app also loads up your camera roll images in a ribbon at the bottom, so you can quickly access your photos without having to import them one by one. You can even switch albums if necessary. Enlight will also save up to an unlimited amount of editing sessions, so you can always continue where you left off. The editing features are tucked away into a single side panel drawer, and everything is clearly labeled and accessible. For Android lovers, you can check out Facetune. Rather than providing a powerful set of all-around photo editing features, Facetune focuses on making your selfies and portraits look as beautiful as possible. Facetune offers users a variety of tools for touching up your photos, such as tools for whitening stained teeth, red eye adjustments, colorizing gray hair, and pimple and blemish removal. In addition to the photo touch-ups, the app also comes with a variety of tools for tweaking lightening and focus, adding filters, rotating and flipping photos, as well as more extreme photo transformations. It is for sale but cheap enough to afford. Well, go and take some photos and share with us with the hashtag CityTrends. My name is Owl, and I'll see you next week.
Well, that will be it for this week's edition of the show. Next week, there will not be a show because we'll be celebrating a night with some of Ghana's high life greats at Alisa Hotel. It's the Mogo Festival, and don't forget to grab your ticket for the Mogo Awards, which is on March 28th. Tickets are going for 60 Ghana CDs, and the event is happening at the Accra International Conference Center. Well, till next week, stay techie.